Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
All disease begins in the gut. Hippocrates said it more than 2,000 years ago, and today we're finding out more and more about the microbiome in our guts and how it affects mental health, disease, and so many other aspects of our lives. When it's out of whack, we are too, according to Dr. Stephen Gundry, who's the director of the International Heart and Lung Institute in California. He's written multiple bestsellers connecting diet with health, and he offers prescription on a plate, explaining what to eat and what to avoid to keep all those microbes happy. In his new book, which is called Gut Check, Unleash the Power of Your Microbiome to Reverse Disease and Transform Your Mental, Physical and Emotional Health, Dr. Stephen Gundry joins me now. Hi.
Jesse, thanks for having me.
We seem to have an epidemic of tummy complaints. There's even a gut talk hashtag on the TikTok platform dedicated to gut health. What's going on?
Well, we've done a really great job of assaulting, starving, killing probably the most important organ in our body, and that's the 4 to 5 pounds of 100 trillion microbes that sit in our gut. And they're mad as hell, and they're not going to take it any longer.
Yeah. Is this a modern diet issue?
A lot of it is certainly modern diet issue, but it goes into far more than that. We're starving our microbiome with our modern diet. Our great-great-grandparents ate whole foods, and interestingly enough, they ate them whole. And now we say eat whole foods, but what we've done is grind them up into fine powders, stripped away all the fiber from those foods, and think that there'll be something that our gut microbes might want to eat, and there isn't anything. But number two, we've killed them off with antibiotics that we either take ourselves or that we feed to our animals to make them grow faster and fatter. And nobody realized that those antibiotics would be in the flesh of our animal. And every time we ate them, we'd kill our gut microbiome. Nice.
Gosh, you've been talking about diet and health for decades. Your book, The Plant Paradox, about the hidden dangers in so-called healthy food, was a global phenomenon. Can you briefly outline the case you made in that book? And can I ask, has your thinking changed since you wrote that book?
Yeah, that book became a bit of a phenomenon. I propose that there are a number of so-called healthy foods that maybe a long time ago, when we had a healthy gut microbiome to handle these plant toxins, might have been tolerated by us. But plants, believe it or not, don't want to be eaten. They don't like us. They're predators. They don't want us to eat them or their babies, their seeds. And their way of fighting back against us is basically chemical and biologic warfare. And we used to have a pretty good system as a defense against these. It was a balance of power, but we've unfortunately lost all of our defenses by killing off our microbiome. So we're kind of laying naked to plant proteins, one of which are called lectins. We've actually known about lectins since the late 1800s. We actually blood type people by lectins. And yeah, that's actually how they were discovered. But lectins are really good at opening the wall of our gut and allowing things to pass through our gut barrier into us. And our immune system recognizes these particles as foreign and produces inflammation. We hear all the time that that inflammation is the cause of all these chronic diseases, and that's true, but no one bothers to think about, well, where's the inflammation coming from in the first place? And it's coming, just like Hippocrates said 2,500 years ago, from the gut. And when you have a leaky gut, and it's a real thing, we can measure it, we can document it in blood tests. When you have a leaky gut, that's the cause of inflammation. And you could eat all the anti-inflammatory foods in the world, but if you don't stop leaky gut, if you don't stop eating, as I say, razor blades, and basically that's what these plant compounds are, you'll just keep having leaky gut despite eating all those anti-inflammatory foods.
I don't think many people, when they heard who I was talking to, expected you to be telling us that plants were the problem. That's usually, most people end by saying, we'll go to the Mediterranean diets, heaps of leafy vegetables and so on. So we're intrigued, and perhaps now's a good time to ask you in what ways the bugs in our gut are actually in the driver's seat and controlling our health.
Well, first of all, I am a confirmed plant predator. I delight in eating plants, but you got to know which plants, if you will, have your back and which ones really don't like you. And you have to know and learn from our ancestors how our ancestors detoxified the plants that we want to eat. And it's been done for, millennia, and yet we've forgotten, for the most part, how to do it. But getting back to the gut microbiome, what's really fascinating, and particularly in gut check, is we're beginning to realize that almost everything that happens to us, particularly in terms of our mood, even the foods that we want to eat or we think we want to eat, is actually controlled by signals from the gut microbiome. And people somehow just don't like the idea that little one-celled creatures could control the wants and desires and even the emotions of this rather sophisticated great ape, us. But they do. And the evidence has become stronger and stronger with every year about how these little guys control our eating behavior, for instance. It turns out that our desire for junk food, for processed foods, for ultra-processed foods, is actually driven by types of bacteria that thrive when you eat these foods. And they actually crowd out all the good bacteria that might actually make you healthy, and instead actually command you to find these foods. Now, in a way, that's encouraging because it's not that we're weak-willed and it's not like, we don't want to eat healthy. But fascinatingly, these guys are in the driver's seat. And part of gut check is to tell people, look, you can starve these guys. You can stop the siren song, if you will, by literally giving your good guys what they need to eat, and they will outgrow the bad guys. And it's exciting, actually.
You mentioned antibiotics, and you sort of mentioned processed foods as well. There are a couple of other potential villains here, right? Soil and also plastic and the ubiquity of that material in our everyday lives.
Yeah, it's gotten scarier every year. We're beginning to realize, farmers knew this years ago, that the soil has its own microbiome, and that microbiome in the soil is actually essential for giving information in plants, giving nutrients in plants, getting vitamins and minerals into plants. And without that microbiome, you can still have a plant that looks like corn or looks like lettuce, but actually is totally different. Even our fruit, an apple today has only about 20% of the vitamin C an apple had 50 years ago, just as an example.
Yeah.
So things may look the same, but they're not the same at all. The other thing that you mentioned, plastics, it gets scarier with every week. Just this week, a paper in the New England Journal of Medicine, one of the most prestigious medical journals, found microplastics in the coronary artery plaque of patients. And these microplastics, which obviously are foreign, were part and parcel of why this stuff was occurring inside of our arteries. Plastic. The other thing that's really scary is it turns out that these microplastics, and you're right, they're everywhere, really change the gut microbiome for the worse. And I detail that in the book as well.
If you've just tuned in, I'm talking to Dr. Stephen Gundry, director of the International Heart and Lung Institute in California. His book is called Gut Check: Unleash the Power of Your Microbiome to Reverse Disease and Transform Your Mental, Physical and Emotional Health. You say, forget you are what you eat. In fact, you are what your gut buddies digest. That's a subtle difference, but can you explain it to us?
Yeah, it turns out that We're a symbiotic organism that we, over millennia, animals made a deal with the gut microbiome, bacteria primarily, that, interestingly enough, you and I cannot digest the cell wall of a plant. We cannot digest, we don't have the digestive enzymes to do that. Believe it or not, a termite doesn't either. So in a way, we made a deal with bacteria that they can digest the cell wall of plants by fermentation, and they can then, if you will, deliver the goods to us. So all animals rely on this. Now, each animal has a different place in their gut where all this takes place. But the other thing that we're now realizing is all these colorful fruits and vegetables, and everybody knows that you want to eat the rainbow and you want colorful fruits and vegetables, and the darker and more vivid the color, the better. Well, these colors are called polyphenols. And that just means lots of phenols. And we thought that polyphenols were antioxidants and that they were good for us. In fact, they're not antioxidants. And they're really not very well absorbed by us. So enter plants. And plants make polyphenols, believe it or not, to protect themselves or their fruit from damage from sunlight and from harsh conditions. Most great wine growers, and certainly New Zealand is a great wine growing country, know that stressed vines produce much better quality wines because the grapes make more polyphenols. And so it turns out that bacteria in us eat polyphenols. One of the real revelations are that polyphenols are one of the favorite foods of bacteria. They're actually prebiotics. And only when bacteria eat the polyphenols in those wonderful dark fruits and vegetables, they make the polyphenols available to us to do their work. And the polyphenols actually make our mitochondria, those little energy-producing organelles in most of our cells, they make them work better, and they protect them, and they repair them. So the more polyphenols you get in your diet and the more bacteria you have that eat them properly, the better you do.
Love it. And let's talk about leaky gut syndrome, not an official medical diagnosis, but a widely used term to describe what's happening when our intestines aren't working properly. What causes it and what sort of mayhem does it set off?
Well, the scary thing is, this week is the Indian Wells BNP Paribas tournament here in the Palm Springs area. And so if you're watching that, and lots of tennis fans in New Zealand, you know that you might want to know that the lining of your intestines is the same surface area as a tennis court. So, wow. Yeah, inside of us. Now, we have a design flaw. That surface area is only one cell thick. And the only one cell thickness is protecting you from anything that you swallow that might want to get through that one cell thick area. And plants have a really clever way of doing it. And they use lectins to actually pry open the spaces between these cells. And they actually produce leaky gut. Intestinal permeability is the medical term. But if you had asked me 20 years ago what I thought about leaky gut, I probably would have told you it was pseudoscience. But thanks to groundbreaking research over the last 15 years, leaky gut is real. We can measure it with blood tests. We can quantify how leaky it is. And as I say in the book, if you've got an autoimmune disease, I guarantee you, you have leaky gut. If you have type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes, I guarantee you, you have leaky gut. If you have coronary artery disease, I guarantee you, you have leaky gut. And if you have one of the conditions like Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, I guarantee you, you have leaky gut. Oh my goodness. That's not good. Huh. And the good news is you can actually fix it. You can actually repair leaky gut. I've given several papers that 90% of my patients with an autoimmune disease, like psoriasis, like Hashimoto's thyroiditis, like Crohn's, like rheumatoid arthritis, go in remission on no medications after a year of following my program. So that's pretty reasonable, I'd say.
Okay. Well, we're all ears. Where do we begin?
Well, one of the things that I think folks down under should realize that one of the things that we've been told is really important is to protect ourselves from the sun with slathering on the sunscreen. And one of the things that's amazing to both myself and many other people is that here in Southern California, 90% of my patients, when they walk through the door, and I still see patients 6 days a week, are vitamin D deficient, even in Southern California. Mm. And you go, that's impossible. Well, it's because we protect ourselves from the sun. Mm-hmm. So one of the things every human being should do is take a bare minimum of 5,000 international units of vitamin D3 a day. That's 125 micrograms. But the University of California, San Diego, which has a very large vitamin D research unit, says the average person should take 10,000 international units of vitamin D3 a day. And I completely agree with that. In fact, I have never seen vitamin D toxicity, and I've been measuring vitamin D in my patients for 25 years. Never seen it.
Okay, that's one thing. And what does vitamin D3 have to do with leaky gut?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. It turns out that We have a lot of stem cells, and that's a popular term now. The lining of our gut changes very rapidly. It gets damaged, and new cells are stimulated to grow and replace damaged cells. It turns out these stem cells in the wall of our gut are incredibly sensitive to vitamin D. And without enough vitamin D, these little stem cells don't get the message to start growing and patch the holes. And it's just been fascinating in my practice watching these holes get repaired as I give my patients more vitamin D. Their vitamin D levels get nice and high. And then we start to see the repair process happen. And again, we can measure this.
That's sounding pretty good. And then presumably we also have to eat the right things as part of that leaky gut repair and to avoid leaky gut
Correct.
Recurring.
Yeah, that's right. I like to joke that I could sell you supplements to repair your leaky gut, and I could, and they work. But if you keep swallowing razor blades every day, you'll just slice it right back open. So the razor blades that are, to me, the most mischievous are most of the grains, the foods we love most. And they're actually, these razor blades, most of the lectins are in the hull of the grains. So one of the hilarious things is that whole wheat bread is far worse for you than like white sourdough bread that was traditionally fermented. White brown rice is much worse for you than white rice. And isn't it amazing that 6 billion people in the world use rice as their staple? And almost all of those people go to the trouble of removing the hull from rice to make it white. They must have learned something through the centuries. So those are a couple of good examples. The other thing is that all of us, wherever we live, are originally from Europe, Africa, or Asia. And none of us, up until 500 years ago, were exposed to plants from the Americas. 500 years ago, Columbian trade was started, named after Columbus. And we were exposed to a whole new set of plant toxins. The nightshade family, white potatoes, tomatoes, eggplants, peppers are all brand new to us. Quinoa is brand new to us. Chia seeds are brand new to us. And our immune system has not had enough time to adapt to these things. Now, the good news is the Incas fermented their quinoa. They let it rot before they cooked it. It's not on the package directions. Smart Italians always peel and de-seed their tomatoes and peppers before they eat them because the troublemakers are in the peels and seeds. And so we just have to learn from our ancestors on how they were capable of detoxifying these plant compounds. And if we get back to doing that, I've found that you can have a pretty doggone satisfactory life and a great health span and great emotional health as well.
Yeah, and does the 80-20 rule apply here? Because a lot of people will be looking at this list of things to avoid: oats, quinoa, brown rice, tomatoes, potatoes, and peppers, and thinking, well, that's just too much of a change, and I won't be welcome for dinner anywhere. So
yeah.
Will small steps, or at least, you know, will making an effort, will it help, or do you need to eliminate these things?
Well, what we found is that if I can convince you to eliminate most of these things or eat the detoxified version of these things, which are readily available, that when you do seal your leaky gut and you do get your gut microbiome reinforced by giving them what they want, which is soluble fiber, then most people can carefully reintroduce these things. But I was presenting a talk at the neurology department at Harvard a few years ago, about the effect of the leaky gut on neurodegeneration, on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and memory loss. And one of the distinguished professors said, well, I believe in the 80-20 rule and everything in moderation. And I said, well, that's fine. If you like moderate dementia, moderate Alzheimer's, moderate Parkinson's, that's fine with me.
Of course, there are more thorough lists and guidelines in the book. Can I just ask you about fermented food? Because that often comes up when we're talking about the microbiome. Are you keen on things like kimchi and kefir? Or perhaps you're keen on them for different reasons than others. Dead bacteria, where does that fit in?
Yeah, it turns out that, I'm a huge fan of fermented foods. Fermentation was the primary way we detoxified certain plant compounds, by having the bacteria eat them for us before they got into us. Mm-hmm. But what's really exciting about fermented foods, is not that they're sources of probiotics, friendly bacteria. Most of these foods, the probiotics, if they're living at all, will be killed by our gastric acid. But what's really exciting is the fermented foods are sources of postbiotics. Now, probiotics are friendly bacteria. Prebiotics are the foods, the soluble fibers that friendly bacteria need to eat. But when they eat prebiotics, they, if you will, poop out postbiotics. And it turns out the postbiotics are literally signaling compounds that tell us what to do, that tell us how to behave, that seal the wall of our gut. And what's really cool is that the dead bacteria in fermented foods actually tell the living bacteria in us that they're around and what to do. So it's true, dead men tell no tales, but dead bacteria do. So the benefit of these fermented foods is a communication system with our living bacteria about who's in town, what's what to do, and that's the real benefit. And it's brand new information.
I've really enjoyed talking to you. I've got to imagine that this must cause outrage among certain elements of the medical community and maybe the dietetics industry, the idea that whole grains might be something to avoid and that, that some vegetables are doing you damage. This is pretty revolutionary stuff, Stephen.
Yeah, it certainly goes against the grain, if you will. But we have to realize that if you look, for instance, at the Mediterranean diet, which certainly has beans and grains as a part of the diet, people like Stefan Lindeberg, the famous clinician who recently passed away, who studied the diet of Europeans and also the Kidivans, he showed that the grains and beans in the Mediterranean diet were a negative aspect of the diet that was compensated for by all the polyphenols in the diet from olive oil, from red wine, from the fruits and vegetables. And we were missing the point that these were negative aspects. For instance, the Italians have a very high rate of arthritis. And arthritis is actually directly caused by leaky gut, as I talk about in the book.
Thank you for all the thought and research you've put into this. Really thought-provoking stuff for us. Dr. Stephen Gundry, author of Gut Check, Unleash the Power of Your Microbiome to Reverse Disease and Transform Your Mental, Physical and Emotional Health. Great to chat to you today. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Jesse, and go Kiwis.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.